It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
In similar ways to standing next to Peyton Manning doesn't make you someone who should be coaching an offense nor a team, and now you're out of football, Adam Gase.
See,
Adam Gase is only 45.
That's crazy to be completely out of football. How much did that eye roll and that eye roll gif, you know?
What?
It didn't help.
I don't think it helped. I don't think it helped his cause.
Stop calling it a gif.
Too late.
I say gif too.
Stop.
Oh!
Absolutely. No, it's very serious. This is a very serious, you know, topic.
Look at that! The guy who created it calls it gif.
He's wrong.
No, he created it.
The guy who created moving pictures?
Lawrence Rush? That's a great album by Rush.
You want to get some Neil Peart all up in you?
Here's Lawrence Holmes for the win.
It's stupid.
That's right, man.
I say gif.
Stop.
Well, I think we became a team today.
Stupid.
My guy.
If you say gif, I'm not going to get mad at you, but I say gif.
Okay.
I like the
image. All right. Well, see, now I feel like a...
No, be you, Shane. It's on the card.
Oh, yeah.
What that is to every day just remind myself to be you.
Settle this. Those little animated pictures on the internet, are they called GIFs or GIFs?
Well, the G stands for graphics. That's a hard G, so I say GIF.
What? The guy who invented it says it's GIF. I'm sorry, do you mean the guy or the jai?
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
I go with GIF. And if you're mad at me, then explain laser. Never mind. We've got you until 6 o'clock. Spiegs is off today. He's off for the holiday today. He's celebrating the new year. He'll be back tomorrow. Jason Leisure is going to sit in starting at 3 o'clock. He is making his way back downtown from Halas Hall. So
he's here. He's in our
he's
office.
He's already here?
He's finishing his column.
Is he playing NBA Jam now that we have the NBA Jam up and running, the SNES, inside of the office? Well, all right, well, great. He's going to join us. Nico Horner is going to join us in the next segment. So listen, we know that it's a little bit weird that we have to take a quick break, but we want to get back on time. So we're going to do that, and when we return, Nico Horner is going to be on the show. That's next. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on the
It's Better Over Here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Score.
Leaning on the second baseman, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so funny.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Line drive caught by a leaping Horner. Throw to second, and they double up Wilson. What a play!
That ends the top half of the sixth inning. What athleticism by Nico Horner.
Fly ball left field, going back is Hayes near the wall. Gone!
Nico Horner with the homer.
Horner cracks one in the air, deep left field, going back is Hayes at the wall, and that ball is gone. Nico Horner with another home run. His second home run of the game.
Nico's been on a tear to close out this season, hitting better than 400 over his last 15 games coming in.
Nico Horner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's nice to have the opportunity to talk with Nico Horner to kind of wrap up the Cubs season. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. Spiegel is out. He is celebrating the new year. He will be back on tomorrow's show. Jason Leisure is going to join me at 3 o'clock, and then he'll be here the rest of the way. Nico now joins us here on The Score. Hey, Nico, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So listen, I'm the new guy, so I'm going to ask you some questions that are going to feel like you have totally already answered them before. So just bear with me, since Spiegs is off today, but where are you right now?
Yeah, fair question. There's various locations throughout the year, but this might be the most random, given the season's over. I'm in my girlfriend's dad's backyard in Princeton, New Jersey, here for a wedding over the weekend, and it's a beautiful day.
So you're giving us a little outside perspective and just taking in the time off and just taking deep breaths while you're enjoying the beauty of nature.
Yes, more or less. I'm in a rocking chair, too, to fully paint the picture.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, I'm looking now on the Twitch stream, and yeah, you've got the nice rocking chair going on and the great background. It's excellent. Your name came up in a conversation that Spiegs and I were having when we started our partnership last week. And here's what happened. I was talking about artists that I feel like I'm late to the game on, like musicians that I'm a little late on. And Mac Miller is one of them. And the other one, even though I'm an old school dude, was E-40. And then Tanny was like, well, wait a minute. Nico's from the Bay. Maybe he's got some E-40 or Too Short thoughts. So I'm just wondering, are you an E-40 fan?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely part of the, the childhood education of rap in Bay Area for sure. He's a huge Bay Area sports fan. He was more of a Giants fan than an A's fan, and I was more on the A's side. But, yeah, I mean, middle school dances and all that. There's definitely a lot of E-40 going around.
All right, okay, I like to hear that, which leads me to another question. What's your feelings as someone who grew up as an A's fan of seeing the Coliseum close and the A's leave?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I mean, that. I think it was cool how many people showed up there at the end, just in that it is an accurate representation of there being a lot of positive energy there left from the fan base and like a lot of people who do really care. I know for me, it was kind of my intro to Major League Baseball, getting to go to games there and, you know, played basically in the Coliseum's backyard growing up. Our fields were right below the Coliseum. You could see Major League ballpark right from our little league fields, which was pretty cool as far as having like that Major League dream there. So yeah, it's really sad. It's not just any other organization. There's a deep history there with a lot of winning, and but it's gone now.
What's your favorite thing that you remember from childhood and now as a professional about the A's or that ballpark?
It was my first taste of playoff baseball. I got to go to some playoff games there. I think it was 2013 when they're playing the Tigers, and just the electricity, the atmosphere there. And yeah, that was an incredible time. Got to see a walk-off hit there and celebrate that. And then for me personally, getting to play there at all was really cool, and being able to share that with a lot of family and friends that I grew up, going to games there. So yeah, special place for me.
Which jerseys did you have growing up?
I really liked Eric Chavez. He was just such an incredible defender and smooth player. So always really enjoyed watching him. And then Barry Zito, I was a fan of his as well.
So were you mad when Moneyball came out and they pretty much didn't mention Mulder and Hudson and Zito at all?
Yeah, that was like a slight factor in those teams, probably, right?
Yeah, you had three guys that won like 20 games. You would think that that would be a part of that big run that they went on.
Yeah, it was a little bit left out, but still a well-made movie.
Yeah, so my heart breaks a little bit for anyone who's a fan of that franchise, just because like it's awful when your team leaves. And I think you're right. Like, I think that there was still a lot of juice. And if you think about Oakland overall, like what Oakland has lost over the last 5 years, the football team, the basketball team, and now the baseball team, that's rough.
Yep. All in the same parking lot, same area. I used to have all three of those basically under the same roof, and now all gone very fast. So I mean, that'll always be home for me. I think I'll live in the Bay Area when I'm older, and but that's sad.
Yeah, maybe they'll come back. Maybe you'll be part of an ownership group that brings them back, you know?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Nico Horner joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. How would you describe your feelings about how the season ended for the Cubs?
Like particularly the end of the year?
Just the entire season and kind of ending up with the same record that you guys had last year.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is we didn't achieve what we set out to do. And really, we weren't that close. And I think that, it hits hard. I mean, when you end up short of what you set out to do, there's obviously a lot of reflection and adjustments that need to be made. I think that always starts with what you can do individually first. But the season as a whole was really challenging, and there were a lot of things that did not go well, but I do appreciate that the effort to respond to those challenges was really impressive by a lot of people. And I do think there was a lot of positives within it, and at least the trend was in the right direction. But, you know, we played so poorly in that May and June stretch that we really created an uphill battle for ourselves that was tough to overcome.
Do you think that you're in a point in your career and with your tenure with the Cubs that in exit meetings you can be as honest as you need to be with Craig and with management?
As far as like things that we can improve as a group or like questions for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think as a player, it's tough though, because, you know, I felt like I personally didn't impact wins at a high enough level. So I think that's definitely where the attention goes first, right? Is, you know, how can I impact games at a higher level? You know, where did I leave wins on the table, runs, whatever it may be? So I think that's kind of where the attention is first. But I know as a group of players, we're constantly thinking about ways we can do things better as an organization too. And so I do feel like everyone's been pretty accountable though.
Inside of that introspection, what did you come up with for yourself?
Well, I mean, first of all, I am proud of just playing, 150 plus games again. I hope I don't ever take that for granted, because, you know, there's been times in my career where I just remember thinking like, man, if I'm just play the full season, I know like there'll be good stuff within that. So, you know, I'm proud of being available first, but, even though the stat line and a lot of things ended up within at least a similar range as past years, I just don't feel like, you know, the winning moments really I contribute as high a level as I have in the past. And you know, something counts. I think he used that phrase in one of his talks about the season, but just there's a certain point when your team, you just have to win those moments that really alter games, whether it's a, you know, two run double early in the game that changes the game or a big hit later. Like there are moments in games and series and the season that really alter the direction of everything, and you can't force those, but I know it's something I can do, but really didn't do it at a very high level this year.
What's the pressure on an individual player to, if things aren't going well, whether it's individually or team wise, to change, like whether it's change routine or change socks or change trying for slug versus having a quality at bat where you're not trying for slug? How do you balance all of that from day to day, week to week, month to month, or season to season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think for me personally, during the season, there's always an interesting back and forth that I create for myself of you know, how do I compete as the best version of myself today with whatever I have versus like, you know, this kind of image of the best version of myself in the long term that involves, you know, development and maybe some taking some risks, some changes, but then there's also whatever you have in front of you that day. And so, you know, that's a constant thing. I think I feel in a healthy way, both directions, but it's definitely a back and forth some. And then when it comes to the off season and, you know, you said individuals and how can we change to impact winning more? And it's, I think if done properly, it's a lot of guys that are doubling down on their strengths. And then a team that's made up of guys that really embrace their own strengths over and over and over. And that collectively makes for a winning atmosphere. And that goes for staff, players, everybody involved, where they don't feel like they necessarily have to do more, just the things that they've always done well at a really consistent level. And that together creates a winning atmosphere. I think that's where it all starts.
What was your first year with Craig Counsell like?
Counsell was awesome. It's interesting because you meet people in spring training, whether it's players, staff, manager, and you get a sense of them and everyone's great in that positive and that relaxed setting. And then, you know, what's it like when things really go wrong, or, you know, you go through a long stretch and things don't go well, and what are they like in mid-August and all that? And that's the real test of the season. And he was so consistent with the, you know, the things that he values, the way that he communicates with the team, and bringing fun to the game. I find him to have a really great sense of humor and appreciation for the game. And I feel like anytime I ever asked him a question or things like that, he had something interesting to say. And I appreciate how he carried himself through a year that, you know, we didn't play particularly well.
So when he gets hired, obviously people were like, man, look at the type of money he got. To he's the highest paid manager in the history of baseball. As the season was going on, did you go, oh, I get why that guy is at the top of the list when it comes to managers, like the interactions that you had or strategy that he brought to you guys? Did you go, I totally get why he's that?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I appreciate that he's very blunt with the communication with me, to where if I ever did ask something, like he was very direct and honest about what he felt like I could improve on, or, you know, things that I could do well and or do better. And I really appreciated that feedback, because I feel like in the past I've had times, whether it's growing up or anywhere, where, you know, as coaches just kind of let me be, to the point that I feel like I could actually use someone that was really holding me to that highest standard. And that kind of accountability is really helpful. So I appreciated that on an individual level. And then as far as the team, I think he always set a tone of a healthy amount of urgency, but not, you know, never panicked, always confident. And then also I think just the kind of recreation of an entire bullpen was pretty impressive this year. You know, obviously that, credit is due to a lot of places and Tommy Hottovy and everyone else in the pitching department, but we just had such unfortunate luck with bullpen health this year. And so to have as many positive stories down there as we did down the stretch, I think was really impressive.
Jed Hoyer made mention of the ballpark factor this year. And when before I was here, I was on the show that is on before this. So I would talk with Ian Happ every week, and we got into conversations about, like, I think I said to him, like, Wrigley feels like it's playing weird this season. And he said, I agree with you. So now we know that it wasn't a great environment. As you guys were in it, did you feel it?
Yeah. I mean, you go to the plate, home plate, and, you know, the wind's blowing straight in your face more times than not. And I mean, that probably impacts my game less than anyone else in our lineup. And it's still something that you got to be really mentally strong to not allow that to change you too much. I mean, you got guys like Saya and Ian and Dansby that, you know, hit a lot of deep fly balls in the middle of the field that are pretty much all getting knocked down every day. And it can start to really, really mess with your head some. And yeah, it was a challenging run scoring environment this year. It was true for both teams though. So it's not something that I think should impact wins and losses. And if anything, I think it's something that, you know, if it is your home field, you can really embrace and, learn ways to take advantage of it. Obviously being used to it on a defensive end with the wind and the field itself. So I don't think it has to be a negative thing, but it did, you know, it created challenges for scoring runs, especially times when you know, reliance on a home run or things like that or higher.
David Ross once told me on air, Nico Horner is hardwired to kick your ass. And it comes across like you have a very, you have a very serious way that you go about your business. So I'm curious, how long will you give yourself to, you know, go through all the stuff, beat yourself up because the season didn't go the way that you wanted, give yourself a break, and then get back into baseball activity?
Yeah, I don't, there's really not a right or wrong with the off-season prep. I mean, I've seen guys not pick up a bat until, you know, mid-January and be absolutely dialed in and have great seasons, and then guys that hit all off season and just twist themselves in circles in the cage and try and reinvent themselves and lose themselves completely. So hopefully somewhere in between those. No, I think usually early December, like first week of December, right after Thanksgiving, start hitting and get moving in that way. But October and November, a lot of that's just making sure you're getting your body to full health and taking the luxury of rest when you can. And yeah, every offseason is a little different priorities, different points in your career. And but I feel pretty convicted in the things I want to improve on this offseason.
Well, look, I know that Spiegs loves talking with you every week, and I'm glad that we'll get the opportunity, and hopefully in the offseason we can get you here in studio, do a whole bunch of cool stuff. Don't even think about baseball for a while. And thanks for everything that you've done for this show and this station all season long.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I will enjoy myself. I do enjoy watching playoff baseball, but obviously it would be a lot more fun to be in it. So hopefully at this time next year, Wrigley's packed, and that'll be awesome.
So wait, real quick, Nico, who are you rooting for tonight? Mets or Brewers?
Yeah, I think that should speak for itself. But I don't have much of a personal agenda in the off season. I was rooting for Jason Hayward the other day. He was up in a big spot and lined out with the game on the line, had a good at bat, but that was about as invested I think I'll feel this postseason.
I think Cubs fans understood what you were putting down there. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Nico.
All right. Have a good one. I appreciate it.
You too. That is Nico Horner of the Cubs. We know who he's rooting for tonight. I think the entire Cubs organization would like very much so if the Brewers just kind of went away. And the Mets have the opportunity to do that to them tonight. Also, remember how everyone was telling you throughout the regular season, well, you know why the teams in the American League Central are good? Because they're playing the White Sox all the time. And now there's three American League Central teams in the ALDS.
Well, I don't want to make predictions, but in this division, and with the core of talent that we have, I would hope and I expect that it'll get that next year will be a lot better than this year.
I don't.
But, you know, how much better? I don't know. But you look at the core on this team. Given the division and given that we have a really good core of players, I would expect next year will be better.
Don't they have to pay Andrew Vaughn $6 million if they'd like for him to return?
They don't have to. I would urge them not to.
I would urge them not to, too. But that's just me. Jason Leisure is here. I see him in the control studio. We are going to talk a ton of Bears on this show. We're also going to get a breakdown of what you should be worried about when it comes to Carolina, if anything. Chris McClain's going to join us next. Jason Leisure's in the building. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on the score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.